Facebook. Good evening, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. Welcome to the Big Footy Tiger Cast. Apologies for the late start. Basically, what happened was the programs connected up to YouTube, to Twitter, and to Facebook, and it expires after a certain amount of time, and it lost connection to Facebook. So I had to reconnect it, but then it logged me out of my Facebook account, so I had to reset passwords and do a whole heap of shit. But anyway, here we are. We're back. And Carl will be joining us as well. I've only just seen the link, so he'll be popping up very shortly as well. But CB, welcome. How are you, mate?
Mate, it's not as if you haven't had all day to get this shit organised. And look, you leave it till 5, like 25 past 8. You go, oh, I better go start fixing stuff. Like, come on, man. Be better.
I know. No, it's always the unexpected technical issues that are the killer. But no, that's okay. Well, hopefully that should reset for another 90 days now. So we should be okay for a little while, which is good. But welcome to everyone tuning in from all around Australia and the world. And this is why whenever I put out an announcement about the show, if everyone reads the text very carefully, I always write a prox time. I never guarantee 8:30. It's always a prox time because I know that technology can be fickle. So, but we're here now. See Tiggs for a new PC. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. No Facebook notification. Interesting. Is anyone else? Oh, so some Facebookers are getting it though, which is good because that was the one that had disconnected. So at least it's come through. But I have had a few people complain, or not complain, but advise that they weren't getting Facebook alerts. I will have to have a look and see what's happening there. But no, I appreciate all the forgiveness. Interesting display picture there, CB. Interesting display picture.
Was that
interesting display picture you've got there?
Yes, very interesting.
So, all right, well, we will get stuck into it. Maybe we won't do the game just yet because we'll wait for Carl to drop in for that as well. But we obviously got the news today about Hopper extending his injury woes. Yep. Obviously, a bit of a slow recovery, which isn't great. And I do want to give a shout out to Tyler Young, who obviously has just had it confirmed that he's done his ACL, which is our fourth or fifth ACL at the club, which is ridiculous numbers. So hopefully Young has a good recovery. Young kid learning the game still, showing some good promising signs, and no one deserves to have that type of injury. So hopefully recovery goes well. But sadly, it's now about, I suppose, the length and how long these injuries are eating into the next season as well.
So my question to you, that's our fourth ACL, so fourth long-term injury.
Yep.
Do we now get to have four picks in the mid-season draft? Is that how this works?
Well, I believe so, because I believe they would all be put on the long-term injury list. So I would think that means we've got at least four picks because they're not playing for the rest of the year. But someone else in chat may know the answer to that definitively, but it sounds like that we should get four. If we had four, surely we're doing a big forward, a ruck, and two mids.
You would think that's the case, or who knows, now we've lost a defender as well. So you'd think a couple of key positions would be whether you get a ruck forward, ruck/forward, and a key defender and a couple of midfielders. But no, in our luck, mate, we'll just go for four utility types that are like 180 centimetres and 69 kilos or something.
Yeah, we'll pick a halfback flanker. That's interesting. People are saying that in Uzo's press conference, he's saying we'll only take one to two. Why would we not use that? That seems like a strange decision. Why would we only take two when we're missing four players for an entire year and no one coming back soon?
That's maybe showing up pick number two, mate.
I'm not sure if I'm a fan of that tactic. There must be a reason behind it. Maybe it's because of the length of contracts or money. I don't know. But that seems a little bit strange to do. I get because of long-term view, but we're gradually running out of players. We've got none left. So it's I don't know why we do that, but anyway. And I also want to clarify that I've seen a few people potting the fitness staff about the ACL injuries. Now, unfortunately, they are all just bad luck. it's nothing to do with strength and conditioning and fitness. Like, they're elite athletes. They've got very good muscle mass around the quads and things like that. It's nothing to do with that. ACL tearing is just bad luck, as we welcome Carl to the show. How are you, mate? My apologies. It was my fault with the delayed technology. I had to reconnect Facebook to this. So
that's okay.
But yeah, we're just discussing Tyler Young's injury and how unfortunate that is. And that's, yeah, ACLs aren't a result of bad management. ACLs are pretty much luck of the draw. I've torn mine 3 times, and one of those times was probably my fault for not letting it rehab well enough. The third time I had a synthetic fiber, so stronger than an ACL, and still managed to tear it. It's just always a bit of luck of the draw. And it's league-wide. Like, the ACLs aren't just exclusive to us, unfortunately. It's getting league-wide. But yeah, I'm a little bit shocked to hear that we'll only take 2 picks, though. That does surprise me in the preseason, mid-season draft. But, well, on that basis then, lads, if we're only taking 2 picks in the mid-season draft, surely it's Keyford and Ruck.
Yeah. I think that's... No, you go, CB. You go.
I was going to say, I think forward slash ruck and possibly an extra midfielder because at the moment we've got 4 blokes out that we can't get out in their midfield, so we might need some more depth in that area, I think, strengthening.
Who do you reckon we go for, Carl? Maybe not personnel, but positional-wise?
Yeah, I agree with CB. I just think we need another sort of tall target in our forward line that could potentially give Nank, well, actually not potentially, could definitely give Nank a chop out in the ruck. Because one thing I noticed, which was interesting from the weekend, I don't know if you lads brought it up, was the fact that Samson actually played the ruck role as opposed to playing as a forward. Yep. I made a point of saying, you know, I wanted Samson in the side. I was hoping that he would add something in the forward line, and it didn't even look like they even put him in the forward line. He was just giving Nank a chop out, like alternating in the ruck. I understand that they're trying to develop him as a ruck, and apparently that's how he's been playing a lot in the VFL. But I thought last year when he came in as a forward to help out in the forward line, he looked good just to be able to create a contest when we'd kick the ball forward. So it sort of staggered me that they didn't push him forward. Like, we don't have a tall target there. We can't expect Dusty to do all the work, and McKelty is in his first season. I was kind of staggered by that move. I don't know if you guys were, but I was.
I think I shot Michaels a message saying during the game that we needed more out of Ryan and Cumberland in particular. Like, Cumberland's opponent, unfortunately, was best on ground. So a bit of work to do there. But yeah, it just seemed like Ryan couldn't get into the game for whatever reason, but positioning, what have you, we need. I mean, there's talk now as a consequence. There's talking Kaczynski's had 2 good weeks in the VFL, and there's talk that he may come in and play key defence and they swing Bolter back forward. Yet Bolter looked like he really settled our defence down a little bit last weekend. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, like I said, I feel like we need 2 Bolters because I don't disagree that he probably helped settle the defence and maybe stem the flow of goals a little bit. And obviously, we don't have anyone else big to come into that spot. But I think it only works if Samson Ryan does play forward because we just need someone to bring it to ground. Like we said, we don't really care if he doesn't mark it, but the amount of times, even against Essendon, that we'd kick it long. I mean, what did Ridley take? 12 marks. And a lot of those times were because we had no one there to go up for it. We were just had all the small fleet-footed players looking at him and he just takes intercept marks, which has been the issue the last few weeks. So I don't mind if Bolter has to stay back. I think it helps us structurally and maybe gives us a chance to stay in games for a bit longer, Carl.
Yeah, I think so. But hear me out. But I reckon if Cozzy's been playing well in the VFL, bringing him in and make him that like central target in the forward line, like that plays the key forward role that can, you know, at least create a target for us to kick into, because it seems like we're just lobbing the ball inside our forward 50. And I made the point a few weeks ago. We're persisting with that, which is fine. But aside from McKelty, you know, I suppose going above and beyond and actually contesting it when he can, there hasn't been a forward that's capable to lead like what Lynch does. And it's like we're treating it like Lynch is there, but he's not. So if we're going to keep doing that, I think you've got to chuck Cozzy in there because they didn't go with Ryan. And then if you want to keep developing Samson as a ruck, then have him play as well, play three talls, and have Ryan alternate with Nank. Because you look at it, when we had Soldo back in the day, you had Nank and Soldo working together in the ruck, and it just sort of seemed to work. And obviously we don't have Soldo now, but we just haven't been able to fill the void of Soldo. So it's like we tried with Naismith, and unfortunately for him, like he sadly did his ACL, and you know that was like really shocking news. But that plan hasn't worked, unfortunately. So we need to. It doesn't seem like we've got a backup plan, and we're trying with Samson clearly to be another ruck option, but he's not raw enough, and his confidence clearly was shot. Like I mean, I don't know where we go from there. But I would suggest that if you really want to have two rucks, you play Samson and you play Nank, and you have them alternate, and then you have Cozzy in the forward line, and you put Bolt down back, because I think he plays better as a defender than a forward, and particularly given that Young's gone now, even though he had been out and he did his injury in the VFL, I think you got to persist with Bolter down back for now.
I think also by bringing the extra tall in, what we really want to see is Lafau become the third forward, the third tall. Mm. I think, you know, so he gets the third best defender. And if you can isolate him deep forward 50, he's going to be very, very strong and very, very hard to beat because he's quick off the mark. And he's also physically very strong one-on-one. So if there's a way they can engineer that would be terrific.
I agree. We need to get Lafau onto being on the third defender, but he's done really well. I thought, you know, given that he's essentially been thrown to the wolves in a lot of instances, but he's more than held his own. And hopefully, I'm not sure if the injury to his arm or shoulder was too bad or not. There's been no reports about it, so I'm hoping it was just a bit of a stinger.
Concussion protocols for Bolton.
Yeah, so Bolton's we'll be missing Bolton, and we'll be missing obviously Young. Was there any other injuries from the game? It was just Lafau that was maybe a little bit iffy, but seemed to be okay.
Just hop on the training track, mate.
Just
get it rolling.
Jeez. So anyway, we'll talk about the game a bit more now. So Richmond 10-14-74 lost to Essendon 12-14-86 by 12 points. It was a much, much, much better performance than we'd seen the last 2 weeks. Probably our best game in about a month. And it's probably the level of I suppose, work rate that we were all hoping and expecting over the last month. So I'm not sure if it was anything to do with the occasion or if the penny dropped or what it was. But we definitely got ourselves into a position to win the game a couple of times late in that last quarter. Dusty, I think, missed one. Cumberland missed one that he probably should have kicked. But it was just good to see that the fight was there till the end. And we held on. So goal kickers, we had Dusty kick 3, Lafau kick 2, Bolton 2, and a few individual goal kickers. And then Dion Prestia leading the way with 27 disposals. CB, what did you make of the game?
I'll tell you what, for anyone who doubts Prestia's value to the team when he's actually fit and playing, we look so different in the middle when he's setting up around stoppages. And his work was terrific. I thought Dion, like, as much as, you know, I don't know how much longer he's got to go because obviously you can't trust his body, but just when he plays, he's an impact player and we are so much better for having him. I thought once again, the kids, Seth Campbell just keeps reminding me of a young Trent Cotchin. Just the way he moves, looks terrific. I thought Sonzi was good. Hugo Routsmith had a fantastic month. Brandon, the kids themselves, again, played really, really well. So, again, we take a lot of positives out of it. I do think a couple of the young blokes are getting a little bit gassed now. So I think they're probably due for a couple of the senior boys to come back in just to help them get them through. McAuliffe looked great again. Like, I think another preseason to McAuliffe, I'm really keen to see what he can do next year. I think, but look, it was a credible performance after two very non-credible performances, I would say.
Carl, what was your take on the game?
I look, I think best performance of the year by far, because I honestly think the Sydney game was a bit of a fluke. Sydney had a little bit going on in the lead up to that game. And I'm not taking away the fact we managed to win that game, but if you look at our form post that, we just haven't been able to play consistent football since. And obviously injuries have impacted that largely. But I thought as a team, like what's starting to reflect is the games that are getting into the younger kids, they're starting to sort of understand the direction we're heading in and how they should be playing senior football, having been exposed to it a little bit now. And that doesn't come as a shock, because even in the Dimmitt era, he would start including our VFL players, you know, to step up for some of the senior blokes who would get injured or suspended, et cetera. And I think it's been really good to see. I think they're really starting to gel. You know, it's taken some weeks, but it's historically it's happened with the footy club, and not just us, other clubs have that as well. But I think the concerning thing is the effectiveness of our opponent to score from turnover. Mm. If you look at the first half alone, all seven goals that Essendon got were from turnover. That's a stat that stood out to me. And I just thought to myself, God, that's, you know, we got to fix that. We can't be letting our opponents, you know, get goals that effectively from turnover. And Essendon were off. Like we matched it for them for four quarters, but we need to minimize our turnover. For our opponents, like the way we turn the ball over, which leads in them, you know, getting score pressure. And I think that's what's been killing us a lot. You know, our opponents are effectiveness in front of goal when we turn it over. So, and I think that largely comes back to experience, you know, like it's the younger heads just making a few silly mistakes, and even the senior players, dare I say it, you know, just having a few mares here and there. Just, I think confidence is probably the lowest it's been for a little while, because we're just so used to being a successful football club. And obviously we're heading into a new era under Ooze. And so, yeah, look, I was pretty happy. I think the most important thing was we played four quarters and we stuck in the game. We didn't, you know, drop and be like, all right, well, the game's done here, you know, and get 10 goals piled on. Like I kept saying, I thought we would at some point. I thought it was going to be coming given the form we've been in. So yeah. I think we should really be proud of the efforts and just hope that, you know, we can go into the Geelong game and do something very similar. But it's not easy going down to Kardinia Park, obviously. So,
Just to support your point too, Carl, I think what you'll find though, like that is a terrific, it's a horrific stat, you know, for the first half of goals. But I think that's also it's a consequence of young blokes learning their roles and trying to take the game on. And when their skill level's not quite up to it, their decision making's not quite up to it. I think we've just got to be patient and understand that's the why. And that's going to happen next year as well for some of these blokes as they're learning roles. But then by about year three, year four, for some of these blokes, I think that's when that'll disappear, and then we'll see that transition from where we are into the next part of the ladder. I think that's just, it's a natural progression as we turn blokes over and we learn who's going to make it and who isn't.
A lot of comments in chat, and it's the obvious question, I think, is Jaden Short's season. He's not had the best of years, I think it must be said. His kicking just hasn't been what it used to be. Like, it used to be an absolute lethal weapon, whether it was goals from 55, 60 metres or long raking passes out of the back line. But whatever has changed, it's not working for him, because he's missing targets everywhere. And I don't know, is he at crossroads? I'm not sure. Is that the right term? Or is he just in a slump? Is he going to get out of it? Me personally, I would actually change his position. I would throw him on the half forward line or the wing, try and reinvigorate him and try and get him to enjoy his football again, because I think he's just really struggling to overcome whatever this hurdle is at the moment. I would maybe swap positions with him and, yeah, see if we can make things enjoyable again and utilise his skills elsewhere.
I think there's an opportunity there. Like, I've always thought, and you see it in local footy, if blokes are going to make a mistake, you'd rather them play forward of the ball, and if they turn it over, they're going to cough it up. They're coughing it up deep in your forward half, or screwing up there, as opposed to screwing stuff up in your back 50 where it really hurts you. So I think he's probably one that could be due for a role change, possibly through the middle wing forward, because he's got a lethal penetrating kick. But I think maybe he's just well down on confidence. I read it as there's a bloke who's at rock bottom with his confidence. He can play. He's a Jack Dyer medalist. No. I think his form's probably a bit reflective of how he is going, to be honest.
What do you reckon, Carl? What are you thinking about Shorty's year? What are we doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, it might not be a bad idea to try and reevaluate what role he's playing at the moment. He just seems to be, yeah, clearly having the worst season he's probably had. But I think it just comes with the new game plan and trying to figure out the pieces where people, like players, fit into the puzzle, you know, so to speak. And I still think there's a lot of changes that are going on, and they haven't quite found out where he fits in the mold. But also he's been injured in and out of the side a fair bit, which doesn't really help. So you don't know. He might not be 100% fit, and he's just trying to, you know, keep the numbers, you know, make the numbers up, basically, and be fit enough to play. But it's happened before where players sort of, they play with a niggle, and there's every chance that Shorty's got a quiet niggle. He's not quite 100%, but, you know, we really need the leadership at the moment with the amount of youngsters that we've got. That's my sneaking suspicion. But also, yeah, with the game plan obviously changing under a new coach, I think obviously he's in the leadership group, so I don't think you could really undermine his leadership. But sometimes being a leader too can have an adverse effect on players. Like you're focusing too much on trying to lead rather than your own form as a player and what you're contributing on the field. So I think, yeah, there has to be a bit of a reevaluation there and establish, you know, where he fits in the mold. Like, does he play in the midfield primarily? Does he play off the halfback? Because I always sort of saw Shorty as a halfback that would push up forward, like, and create stuff for us, like get the ball moving and flowing, sort of like what Ralph Smith adds, I think, as a player. And maybe we've got too many players that are sort of playing that role, because Dan Rioli sort of slotted it there in the halfback to replace Basha Hooley. So, yeah, to be honest, I'd like to see Shorty in the midfield a little bit more, you know, cement a role in the midfield and support that, and maybe give a chop out in the half-back line. But, yeah, who knows? It's food, reckon, for thought, yeah, for sure, where he fits.
I agree. I reckon freshen him up, give it, and like, we're not saying that it ends up being a permanent role next year or anything, but just to maybe bring his enjoyment back to the game, yeah, I think that's important as well for the player's form. So, and yeah, he's got a hoof on him, so why not try and utilize it hitting goals from 50. All right, the next player, I'm going to throw a stat everyone's way. Now, I'm relying on the tail for this to be accurate on Twitter. Who, if you had to take a guess, who would you have said had our game high pressure acts? If you had to take a guess,
Camden McIntosh.
Nope.
Not McIntosh.
Game high pressure acts. Anyone in chat have any ideas? And I'm relying on you, Jones Racing, for this to be correct. I have not fact-checked this at all.
Prestia?
No.
Huh. He's pretty good, though, on the weekend.
He was. It's a Ford.
Can't be Dusty.
No, it wasn't Dusty.
Sons.
Don't do his Cumberland. No.
Noah Cumberland led the way with pressure acts for the team on the weekend.
Wow. Okay.
So wow. That interesting. Yeah, I was shocked too. I think I wrote, wow, the Cumberland one's a huge shock. 24 he had. 24. That's something I didn't see coming, and that could be enough to keep him in the side for the next couple of weeks, which, you know, he obviously missed a goal that he probably should have got and didn't get his hands on the ball a hell of a lot. But That's a pretty good bit of output from him there. That to me shows he's at least taken on board whatever the advice was of the coaching staff over the last year and a bit, because that has always been his issue. But yeah, 24 pressure acts from Noah Cumberland was leading the way for the Tigers.
Well, you want to hear another stat that's interesting from the game on the weekend? I heard on the couch before when I was watching it that out of the 37 tackles that we laid across the weekend, only one was given holding the ball the whole game.
But can we just say this now? We've been on this show, and our supporters of the show and Richard supporters in general, we've been wanting the club to speak up against the current umpiring and the way the game is umpired for so long. And Damien Hardwick and Voss finally come out and have the balls to actually call some stuff out. And serious respect to those two for actually being able to do it, because It's, and I'm sure, like Carl, you're in a bit, like, it must be so bewildering just to see what the hell's going on, you know?
Yeah, no, it's, I just think the state of the game is in a poor condition at the moment. I feel like technology has just ruined the game of footy. Too much technology, too much reviewing, too much like sponsorship agreements in some respects, like, you know, we need to do this for that and whatnot. This is my opinion. And, you know, why can't we just go back to having one or two umpires on the field? You know, we don't have to review everything. If we don't have to get, you know, take 30 seconds at the bounce or whatever to confirm or deny whether it was a goal. Just go back to playing footy. How hard is it?
Well, the concern is we're told that the, you know, the they're trying to introduce things to protect the players to avoid injury. But ironically, they're creating situations where players are now getting injured because they're allowing the extra 360, players allowed to drop the ball. It's actually creating, if they just paid prior as how it used to be, a lot of these issues would be resolved. So effectively, Norton injured his knee because of the way the umpire's currently, the way the interpretation of holding ball is currently umpired. And there's going to be more of it. So this isn't anything to do with the players. This is purely how the game is adjudicated and how the officialdom is relaying how they want the game, the aesthetics to look.
That's a good call. There's too many interpretations. That the fourth umpire thing was never going to work. We'll get back to them in a sec because there's a couple of 50 meters I want to get your thoughts on. But before that, what about Camden McIntosh? What about his game? I thought he was outstanding, and he has had a lot of, don't say haters, but a lot of naysayers along the way in recent times. But his second, third, and fourth efforts on the wing multiple times to halve contests and keep the ball in our favour is exactly why he's one of the first magnets on the board each and every week, folks. Yeah, make no mistake about it. He is one of the first ones picked because not many other players in our side can play that wing role like he does. And he might not be the best pass by foot, but he's one of the best workers.
That's why he's got two medals, mate. And he gets to go to reunions. And blokes like us don't, because he can do those things.
That's it. He was good.
Yeah, it's a good point. No, look, he's obviously one of our senior players, and his experience shows when he's playing, you know, and he got dropped and he's come back in the side. I have to say though, I was a little worried when he was the sub and he got put to full forward. I think it was against the Bulldogs. I was like, what was the thought process behind that? didn't quite understand that. But yeah, you know, he kicks truly when he takes a mark and takes a set shot. He's usually pretty reliable. So but it just that I don't think was the right call in that instance.
No. Well, he was one of the things I thought when we were talking about Shorty, I sort of said to one of the listeners on Twitter, whether you could put a guy like K-Mac behind the ball because of his running ability and you put Short to the wing, Short and Hugo on the wings and put someone like Camden behind it because he's such an aerobic beast, he could actually cover the territory pretty well and he's courageous and physical.
He definitely could. I mean, he trained, like I remember a few years ago, he was trained as a halfback specifically. So I think he definitely knows how to do it. It doesn't hurt. The throw the magnets around now, it doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt at all.
Well, we've got nothing to lose.
No, exactly right. Exactly right. What about Thompson Dow? 21 disposals. He had 5 clearances, 3 tackles. Oh, I don't mind how he's tracking. My thing is with him at the moment, at this stage in his career, he's not a first choice midfielder, but he's having to play as a first choice midfielder. So he's still trying to develop and grow into that role while having to actually play it at the same time, if that makes sense. But I've not minded his work. There's been a few people who have been a bit iffy on him, but yeah, I've been quite comfortable with how he's been progressing.
He's had a great month. He's like, yeah, Hugo. He's had a really, really good, solid month. And he's the type of guy, you got to think about the load he's taking right now. I mean, Presti's come back in for the last two games, but for the month before that, there was no support around him. It was all kids in that midfield and Nankervis. So
yeah,
I think he's the type of guy when there's a couple of bigger bodies in Taranto and Hopper one day come back into that midfield, I think you'll find he'll be probably not as many possessions, but there'll be more telling possessions and you'll notice his work around clearances and that. I think he'll be better when a couple of senior boys come in, but he's had a very good month as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think the addition of Prestiakal has definitely helped Dow's game. Just he's not having to do the full grunt work. He's been able to sort of take a half a step back and just be allowed to do his thing.
Yeah, well, I think we forget how much of an impact Prestia has on the group when he's there. I think he gets forgotten about these days, Prestia, and probably largely because he's, you know, he's not had a great track with on the injury front, which is disappointing. But we're always a better side when Prestia's there doing Prestia things. Like he just adds so much to our group when he plays. And my one worry is he gets shadowed a little bit when we do have Hopper and Taranto in there, because they're like the newer blokes to the club that have come to play their roles. And I love what they contribute when those two are fit, and they definitely boost our midfield. But you recall when Prestia came to the club, you know, with Caddy, like he was like a part of that, the new kid on the block that was going to, you know, the new kids on the block that were going to add to our side and make us a better side. And they did that in shadows, you know, Prestia, Caddy and Nank. But it's like, yeah, Prestia, I feel like Prestia sort of falls under the radar, gets forgotten about when you've got Taranto and Hopper, when he shouldn't be forgotten about. He should be just important in the mould as these guys. And I feel like, you know, he really stands up when you don't have your Tarantos and your Hopper there and helps sort of lead with Dow and those types that are in the midfield that are a little bit inexperienced, that need the experience. So yeah, it's been good to see him rack up the Spurs the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So this one come through from Dill. This is a good shout, slightly off topic, but he wants us to give Tix 71 a bit of love, because those who remember when he was on the show did break some information that North are in desperate need. It's, you know, it's probably maybe not rocket science, but it still was put out there nonetheless that they're in desperate need for some experienced players. And then in consecutive weeks, they've been linked to Parker and Ollie Wines. So on the pulse again, Tiggs. Well, I don't hope you're doing well, by the way. And hopefully EJ is doing well, and as is Grok. The last thing I want to talk about, and I want to make it very clear, this did not decide the game. It was just something that stood out like dog's balls. Dusty gets the mark at the top of the 50, and there was at minimum 5 to 6 whistles about get back off the mark, get back 2 metres, get back 2 metres, a tap on the shoulder even, just a little, hey, mate, do you mind just coming back 2 metres? Still nothing, and no 50. Then you got Bolton, who didn't even get a warning, and neither did Noel Bolter. That's the type of consistency that I think is starting to piss everyone off, that I don't know how that one to Dusty wasn't paid a 50. And like I said, it didn't cost us the game. It would have got us within 6 points, and who knows what happens from there. But I just don't understand how there can be so much inconsistency in a rule as simple as that. 3 whistles I would have coped with because it was quite loud. I would understand that. But anything after that, I don't understand how it wasn't, paid a 50.
You still watch, when we've got a kick and it's like, you know, they stand and straight away they go, play on, we have to kick the ball. We don't seem to get the time that others are allowed.
Yeah, but you know what else as well? Just on that, I always find as well, like, I think McKelty kicked the goal, his first goal. Like, he's pushed, blatantly pushed a bloke in the back. Like, it's hands in the back. And, okay, there was a little bit of mayo there on his opponent who might have jumped a little bit. But I interpret that as hands in the back. Like, it should be a free kick to Essendon, right? But they allow it to be a marker. We get a goal, and that's fantastic. But they allow things like that to pass. But then when it's the blatantly obvious decisions that we should win, they don't give it to us. You know, like they give us ones that shouldn't go our way, right? And then it just baffles me how what goes through their minds to pay stupid, you know, marks or free kicks to us that aren't there, but then the ones that are genuinely there, it just flies over their head, over their heads. But they'll pay it to our opponent, you know, whether they're there or not, they will clearly pay it to our opponent. That's what frustrates me.
I mean, the reality is now, such is their preciousness of the umpires, a player can't even say, look at the screen, without getting pinged for 50. When in point of fact, it actually could be a learning opportunity for the umpire. That's how sensitive this stuff has become. So, I mean, when they're not answerable to anyone, and that's what it feels like, then what hope you got?
And Cumberland getting smashed off the ball. And he didn't dive. He was actually flat.
No, he got hit.
He didn't see that coming.
He was.
And at the risk of talking about a different game, what did everyone think about the free kick paid against Collingwood for time wasting because the ball wasn't passed direct to the umpire? Like, surely that happens about four or five times a game that we just don't even realise. And they pick that one out. It's quite alarming at how they're going. But anyway. I think that was it player-wise. Oh, we have to give a special shout-out to Mansell, who's just signed on for 2 years, I think it is. He's extended his contract, which is awesome news. It would be so nice if he got a full run at it. He's obviously had some injuries as well, but he would be kind of the perfect type of player that could maybe play that defensive role on a Tom Stewart, for example. Like, you're looking at someone to do a negating role. He does have that tenacity and that willingness to sacrifice his own game for the betterment of the team. So I'm really glad that he signed on for 2 years. I quite like him.
And I guess we better just talk about one more player. I mean, I wish the guy would just have a crack and wasn't checked out. But Dustin Martin, I mean, it's clear he doesn't care anymore. He's not interested. He's just going through the motions, you know. I wish Dusty would have a go, you know.
Yeah, he's a bit of a plotter.
I think, you know, can you get drafted to another team at the mid-season draft? He'll be at Gold Coast soon, won't he? He's got the contract in front of him. It's only a matter of time. He'll be there, the retirement fund, with Dimmer up there.
Well, that's 299 games with us and the 300th will be with Gold Coast. That's how I understand it.
Yeah, that's a great way. It's fantastic. You know, you've got the NRL players that come out and declare they're going from their current club to another club during the season. Dusty's going to do the same. It's only a matter of time.
Yep. Yep.
Speaking of the great man, you've got a bloodbath. You can that can lead into the review of the Geelong game. Brace yourself for this one, folks. CB's come off a long run. If I had an intro with music, I'd play it, but I don't. But he's going to...
We'll get copyrighted again.
Yeah, we did. That's right. We got copyrights. The floor is yours, Sammy. The floor is yours.
Carl, you might need to actually block your ears just because of your name, just because of the industry you work in. You'll have to block your ears on this one, mate.
Okay, I'll block it. I'm blocking.
Am I going now, Michaels, or what are we doing?
Yep. Yeah, the floor is yours. You go for it.
So this one's called Dustin Martin. So I hear the AFL media upset Dusty isn't going to do media in the lead up to his 300th. Well, as they say, you reap what you sow. So for 15 years, they've pursued Dusty with a personal vendetta. So let's go through some greatest hits from the media. They described him as a plotter in his first season. They questioned his intelligence when he was first drafted. Do we all remember the focus on the neck tattoo? Chopstick gate. The off-field rumours and innuendo with Swanee. The focus on him and his family with the implications around his father. The continual want of the media for him to leave Richmond and go somewhere else his whole career. Even as late as last week, there was an article in the Herald Sun saying there's 6 clubs interested in him at season's end. Dusty's checked out. Disinterested. He's getting free games. I think that was even a call as early as was last week. And of course, you know, leaked end of season footage. So now they want to make out like they're his mates and he's to be celebrated. What planet are these buffoons and shit talkers living on? I think this is a fantastic statement by Dusty and what he's really about. It's not about him. He's a Richmond man. It's about the team. If ever there was a player who could earn a 2-week celebration on their career, it's Dustin Martin and Scott Pendlebury. There's a reason they're revered and celebrated. He owes the league and its sycophant media department not a thing. He provides them a living through what he does on the field. If there's anything they should do, each and every writer and outlet should print and post apologies for the way they have shamefully treated a future legend and Hall of Famer of the game over the years. Do that, and that's probably a start. But no, look at them. It's already about them. Oh, Dusty won't talk to us. Poor me. Well, jam it, arseholes. You're not worthy to be in the same room as this bloke. I mean, there's even now talk of a fine for Dusty. So a person who we know who's a recluse and doesn't crave media attention could possibly be fined and forced to do something that makes him deeply uncomfortable. And then next week, the AFL is probably going to promote Mental Health Week, etc. It's a sick, hypocritical joke. All I hope is Dusty does a club media release for us supporters on the Tigers media site and leave it at that. That's what we deserve as fans, supporters and members of the club. As for the rest of them, go to hell. Dusty, a true Richmond man, go well.
Bravo, CB. Could not have said that better myself. You can't have it both ways, media. And the only thing I'll disagree with you on is I hope the only thing he does do isn't just a club release. I wouldn't mind him on this show as well. So we put out a tweet, and I'm deadly serious. We tagged Ralph Carr with the way that he's been treated. Why would you give the media the time of day? And if he wanted to do something on a local fan show that where everyone actually loves him, Ralph Carr and or Dusty are more than welcome to pop on any time. And Ralph did give it a cheeky like tonight, I must admit. So we'll watch this space. But yeah, the way he's been treated over the years has been horrific. Like, if there's ever a player who he could have borderline started looking at legal action against the media, it was probably him. I don't think they deserve the time of day. And I have nothing but respect for the fact that he's not going to do anything for them. And if they fine him, start a GoFundMe, and I think we'll all cover it. We're not gonna cop that.
I mean, to put it in perspective, we've got potentially we've got 12 games to celebrate this guy's career, possibly, and then he might retire. Who knows where it sits, right? Can't we just enjoy the last possible few games for this guy? Is that beyond the media to let us actually appreciate and just watch this guy that gets 2 kicks, 10 kicks, 400? It doesn't matter. We just want to watch him roll out in yellow and black and play the game without the circus around it. And it's just 15 years. It's an embarrassment. I mean, has there ever been any talk of Scott Pendlebury during his contract negotiations going anywhere? Or Joel Selwood or any of these guys? No. So why the hell would you do it with a guy like Martin? It's not right.
It's a good point. And I think as well, just to add on to that, actions speak louder than words. You know, Dusty's had a magnificent career. However long is left, he just needs to be left alone to play it out. And we need to take it all in and embrace it as much as we can, because he's the GOAT. He's, you know, tell me a better footballer than Dustin Martin in the competition. Like, as far as achievements goes, there isn't one right now. And that's not a discredit to the other older stalwarts that are out there, you know, like your Pendlebury's that have had successful careers and reached certain accolades as well. But Dustin Martin is a gun, and he deserves to be respected for however long he plays for.
Yeah, on the upcoming 300th, given there's not much left of our season to ride home about, I'm assuming everyone would be comfortable with resting him for a week, whether it's this week or next or whatever, to ensure that the game is played at the G. That you got it. Surely, as a club, you've got to go for maximum effect, maximum love and respect for the great man. I don't think anyone would be shitty at all if he was rested, even after as great as the game was that he played on the weekend. If he had to cop a rest, whether it's against the Cats or the Crows, just to make sure that 300th is against the Hawks at the G, I think we have to do it.
Yeah. Not is he going to play VFL for the week or?
No, he can sit in a corporate box and have a few meat pies, I reckon. He can do whatever he likes.
Hamstring awareness.
Hamstring awareness. I agree. I think 300th, I'm with you, Jacko. 300th versus the Hawks, 100%. I think that would be the way to go. So, all right, on that, very, very well put, CB. Now we've got the game against the Catters coming up, who have lost 4 in a row and are starting to slip. Yep.
Just a well done to the VFL team for absolutely poleaxing Essendon. We know we've got a lot of injuries there, but Stevie Morrison, the boys, outstanding.
Really good. We've been praising Steve Morris a bit lately because he has been doing a super job. So the Jagger win under these circumstances is bloody good going. So keep up the good work, and hopefully you can keep some more players on the park. So obviously another one down, but that's a solid effort to get a win there. So we've got the Catters this week. The Cats have lost four in a row, and it's good times when they lose four in a row because they start to sort of unravel and panic a little bit. Grok, if you're still here, I'd love to hear what it's like down in Geelong at the moment. But it's going to be, yeah, so they're going to be missing as well Blitzarves and is it Jai Clark, I think. So that's handy as well. But going into this game on the back of our sort of success against Essendon in terms of a return of good form, do we give ourselves a reasonable shot here, CB and Carl, or should we do the ins and outs first? We should probably do that, shouldn't we?
Can I just say this? So here's the funny thing. Geelong have lost four in a row.
Four in a row.
And I'm prepared for much ridicule and mockery, shall we say. But right now, I'd rather be in our spot than Geelong's because we're bottoming out at the right time. We'll get 2 years of picks and growth and development, whereas Geelong are hanging on, bringing in retreads. They're getting fanned out a little bit. So they're going to be, they're about, ironically, 2 years behind us development-wise. So at the time when they're going to need to really start trying to bring picks in and what have you, Tasmania's coming in. They're going to nail a draft. Their first round picks are going to be in the teens. They're actually in a bit of a spot. So as crazy as it sounds, they're in the eight, you know, what have you. But long term, when you look at what's going to happen when they've got an aging list, they've got some problems. They've got some blips in the road coming up, and it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic. Well, let's have a look at our own ins and outs first before we get to the Catters. So obviously, Bolton's going to be out with the concussion protocol. I don't think there's anyone else that will be missing from the game just played, but would there be any omissions that you would have? And who's fit to come in? So I think Trezise might be good to go. Mansell, Graham. Oh, Graham, I'm almost tempted to give another a week or two. We can't rush that again. Surely we learn our lesson. But even Trezise and Mansell would be okay inclusions, either one of them.
And Cozzy.
And Cozzy? Who comes out for Cozzy?
I wouldn't have any of them. I'd actually play the three tools and try and get LaFowle as the third forward.
Oh, so you would just do Cozzy for Bolton?
Yeah. And I'd have, like Carl said, I'd actually have Nankervis and Ryan as the rucks. And, yeah, you maybe rotate one deep or however it works to try and stretch them defensively.
Yeah,
got nothing to lose. We're going to move that ground's long and thin. So you want to actually have a couple of big guys to aim at just to try and trap it in. I don't know. I'm just a bald-headed flog from Traralgon. What would I know? I don't know.
What about though, Carl? Like if we're wanting someone to do a defensive job on Tom Stewart, which other teams seem to have done pretty successfully in recent times, who... does someone like a Mansell need to come in to do that? Or do you have someone? Or does Pickett do it, maybe?
This is the game. Presty against Beckett Stewart. Get a tag. Tag him up. Put Presty on him the whole game. Lock him together and knock him out. No, I didn't say that.
I actually want Mansell. I want Mansell to sit on Stewart and make his life hell. Just hit him at every chance. Because Tom Stewart gets the good guy raps. He's an absolute pig behind the scenes, mate. He's an absolute sniper.
Townsend a laid in. Good call.
Can we recruit him at the mid-season draft?
We have a chance. A few people calling for Caleb Smith to debut. A few people calling for him. Actually, out of interest, when is the mid-season draft tomorrow or is it Wednesday? I think it's Wednesday.
I think it's soon, isn't it?
So someone could potentially play this week, but I wouldn't be against a Mansell or a Pickett playing on him. And I actually think it's something we probably need to seriously look at doing because teams have had a huge amount of success doing it to Tom Stewart and throwing him off his game. So we may as well have a crack at it ourselves. But looking at the rest of the Cats lineup, Jeremy Cameron, Tom Hawkins up forward. I know Hawkins hasn't been in, you know, the best of form goal kicking wise. Cameron probably has been. Bolter playing down back. Who do you prefer he goes to, Cameron or Hawkins?
He's put Tom Hawkins on the lead a couple of times and taken him out for a walk, hadn't he, when he's walked his bitch?
So. And Ben Miller to get the other one?
It's six of one half the other. Probably Bolter's actually Bolter's quicker than Miller. So you probably almost want Miller to take Hawkins and you probably want Bolter to take Cameron because he'll go up the ground.
Yep. Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Broad, yeah, Broadie can obviously chop in as well and play a bit of a role there too. Who have they got in there? So with no Blitzars, is Stanley playing? He didn't play last week, so they had that Conway rucking. So that might be, I don't know what Conway's like, but Nate's actually been in really good form the last couple of weeks, rucking and around the ground presence. So hopefully he can sort of carry on with his good form. The midfield battle, like always, will be where it's won and lost. It's pretty simple. If we can't at least break even in there and get some ball our way, then it could be a long night. But I don't know. It's just one of those games where I feel like a lot of games for us are free hits, CB, but if we can bring that same pressure and energy that we did against Essendon, anything's kind of possible, especially if the Cats are down on their own form.
If Gron Myers, if that guy kicks two goals and racks up over 20, I'm going to physically be ill. I'm just going to say it. Now, what was that? What was that great call when someone hacked Watley's account? Gron Myers is like to football what Ronaldo is or something.
Leo Messi.
I think it was Messi. Everyone said it. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Look, silly comparison.
Unfortunately, look, on that ground, Geelong very, very rarely lose. We haven't won there since about 1982. I don't know. I can't even remember the last time we won.
That's not true. We won a preseason game at Kidinia Park a few years back. I remember it. That was all important. I reckon we beat them by about 60 points.
I'm still scarred from Wayne Campbell's final game there when we had them and they bloody Corey Enright or someone popped up at the last minute or one of those guys and broke our hearts. But look, I think this is probably one of those ones. Hawkins been horrifically out of form for five games. He's going to come out and look like a superhero again. I think if we can keep him under four goals in reality, I think we're going okay. They're going to look to bash to be very physical very early. That's what they're going to try and do.
Miller has got some good numbers, though. 17th for 1v1 losses in the comp, second for spoils. So hopefully he can replicate another good game. He's putting together a good year. But, yeah, look, the Cats are going to be looking to bounce back pretty fiercely. They will not be thrilled about four losses in a row because everyone's starting to question their credibility as a top eight contender. So I think similar to the last few weeks, Carl, the same issues are going to be front and centre with De Koning, Stewart, Jack Henry, Cole Jasny down back intercept marking if we can't get that part of the ground right. And I think that's where your comments earlier with Ryan are very, ring true.
Yeah, well, I mean, Geelong, they're generally a tall side, aren't they, going in? So I think there's merit to keeping Ryan in there, you know, keeps him playing senior footy for a bit. But it depends. Like, if we bring Cozzy in, then, you know, keep Ryan racking. But if we don't bring Cozzy in, then I feel like we should at least try at some point to have Nank and Ryan on the ground and put Ryan up in the forward line for a little bit. I mean, again, what do we got to lose? When he's played forward before, he can at least create a marking target for us. And I think we should at least try that, you know. But if that's not in the question, if that's not what the coaches are after and they're trying to, you know, kick the ball to Kautz or even to Dusty, then go with that. Like, I can't understand, like, why Dusty doesn't play for the ball in full forward. Like, again, is he our number one at the moment? He seems to be spending a lot of time on the forward line. I know I flagged that also a few weeks back, but... he can't be the only one trying to contest for marks in our forward line if we're going to keep lobbing it in there. So, yeah, I would try that, but I don't see it happening.
We play an undersized forward line, and when we kick it in there, quite often we're outsized in that match. That's why we just need that bigger bloke in there to at least stretch the defense. Then we're looking at it too simplistically.
That's it. It's just, you know, because at least you could crumb the ball and get one of our smalls to pick it up and attempt a goal, you know, or try and set something up a bit closer or something like that. It's just, you know, we're just failing on that front.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It's a structural thing. Yeah, bang on correct there. So hopefully we can do that and hopefully we can bring the ball to ground a bit and make a good fist of it. Look, we just want to see another effort like last week. We're not expecting miracles. We're still quite realistic with where the team is at in the players we've got available. But another good bit of experience for the young Cubs to go down there. And if they can just put their best foot forward and have a red hot crack, that's all we can ask of them. So with that said, let's get a tip including margin for this one. CB, who's winning in by how much?
-26.
minus 26. Carl, tip and margin.
I'm going to go to the draw.
Oh, another one. Jesus.
Another thing we can read about. Ooh, extra time. Golden goal. Yeah, great.
The draw. Why not?
The draw. Look, I'll say Richmond by 2 points. If there's just one other game you want to win for the year, it's this one. You wouldn't care about anything else. Just for the laughs. Make it 5 in a row at GMHBA that they've lost would be unbelievably good. But it's going to take...
And I'm going to add this as well. I reckon we'll win the free kick count.
Down there. Oh, Jesus.
That's mate, cool. You realise Stephen Hawking has a bat phone in the office in there somewhere. There. It's a big red phone with a button, and he's not happy. He pushes it and he gets straight onto the hierarchy and changes things.
But that's what will make it even sweeter, the fact that we win the free kick count and he still has that.
Jeez, imagine that. That would be unbelievable. All right, well, thank you for that tonight, gents. CB and Carl, thank you so much for jumping on. Apologies again, folks, for the latest start. Now that Facebook's reconnected to StreamYard, we should be back to normal running time next week. But thank you to everyone for tuning in. Make sure you go and follow us on YouTube, on Twitter, Facebook, etc. Get around us, share the episode, do all that kind of stuff. And we appreciate the love and support. And we will speak to you all on next Monday, hopefully after a Tigers win. And CB, well done again on your bloodbath time, mate. You need to bring it back more often.
Oh, nah, it's all good. It's no good for the heart, mate. I get too angry and wound up.
Oh, gosh. Until next time, guys, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.